Today is Hashanah Rabbah, and Hashanah Rabbah is a little bit of a confusing day. On the one hand, Hashanah Rabbah is, as everyone knows, is a Yom Hadin. It's the Gemar of the Chasima of Yom Kippur, and the Piska, the Gemar Din, is given over to the Malachim to be carried out, and it's a Yom Hadin. And in Halacha, Shulchan Aruch brings down that there are places that are noyig to be mar b'neiros, just like they do on Yom Kippur. And some people, Shalmim, have a minhag to wear already big day lavan, a kittel, like Yom Kippur. The Ramah brings down. There are those that have a minhag to be toivel in the morning before Alois HaShachar, Dumya, the Erev Yom HaKippurim, because it's Dumya to Yom Kippur. And I saw a very interesting thing in the Shlach HaKadosh. He brings down that the Gemara says, a famous Gemara, that Dirshu Hashem bi matzoi karubi esay karoiv is going on the Asara Yomim Shebein Rosh Hashanah L'Yom HaKippurim, the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And everyone knows, if you just look at the calendar, there's not 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. There's 10 days including Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but there's not 10 days in between. So the Shlach says it's coming to be Meramez, not the regular Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He brings a pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel that refers to Yom Kippur as Rosh Hashanah, because Yom Kippur is, in a way, the Gemara of Rosh Hashanah. And so the Asara Yomim Shebein Rosh Hashanah L'Yom HaKippurim means the 10 days in between Yom Kippur and Hashanah Rabbah. And Hashanah Rabbah is being referred to as Yom Kippur. It means also, of course, the Pashup Shad of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but it's also being Merambah. So you see that Hashanah Rabbah is a Yom Hadin, like everybody knows. On the other hand, we find that Hashanah Rabbah is a Yom of Simcha. The Torah brings down that there's a minig to take out the eged of the lulav, the rings around the lulav, to take off the lulav on Hashanah Rabbah. And the Levush explains, because when you take off the rings, so you could be menanea the lulav more, it shakes more. And the ninua of the lulav is Simcha. And on this day of Hashanah Rabbah, the final day of Sukkot, is a day to be marba, to add additional simcha. The Gra says the inyan of the hakafos around the bima 7 times. Hakafah is also like a dance. It's an inyan of teisefa simcha. So it's a day of simcha. And the truth is, the minig in the world is to be mamayit a little bit, the simcha. There's no simchas beis sheivas. And be'emes, the Gra was against it. The Gra held that it's the wrong thing to be mamayit in simcha on Hashanah Rabbah. And even 1 year he was mevatel in his Beis Medrash the inyan of being mamayit the simcha, and he had simcha, the regular big simcha on Hashanah Rabbah, and then he stopped. Something happened and he stopped. But be'emes, the Gra is telling us that really it's a yom simcha. So on the one hand it's a yom adin, on the other hand it's a yom simcha. And usually din and full simcha doesn't go together. The Rambam says the reason why we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, "Kos sifrei chayim v'sifrei misim psuchim lafonai va'atem oimim shira." It's not a time for shira. The Rambam explains, because when there's a yom adin, so you're not in a mood of simcha. You're in a mood of fear, of eima and pachad. And in order to say hallel, you need to be in the mode of simcha. You have to be in a happy, good mood and matzav ruach in order to say hallel properly. To say hallel when you're stuck in fear doesn't go. So Mamela, these days of Rosh Hashanah and Kippur are not days of Hallel. So you see, Simcha and Din don't really go together. But on Hashanah Rabbah, it's going together. It's the Yom Adin, it's the Yom Achitum HaGodol, that's the Lashon that it says in Rishonim. It's a big Yom Adin. And on the other hand, it's also a day of big Simcha, of additional Simcha. Bimar B'Simcha in HaKofos, in the Ninuim. It's an extra Simcha. How can you have an extra Simcha at the same time that there's also this inyan of din? Din and simcha don't always go together. So I want to talk a little bit about the inyan of b'chlal zman simchaseinu, the inyan of simcha and sukkos, and then maybe we'll be able to understand how the simcha is shayach afilo and Hashanah Rabbah. So on the one hand, the Rambam says as follows: there's a mitzvah of simcha on all Yomim Tovim, not just on Sukkot. On Pesach, and Shavuos, on all the regalim, is a mitzvah of Simcha. But On Sukkot, there was an additional simcha, the famous lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam says in the end of Hilchos Lulav, "Afal pi shekol ha-moyedos mitzvah l'smoyach b'hem." And how you mesameach? Ein simcha el babasar v'yayin. By noshim, through begodim, you buy them new clothing, you buy presents for the children, and everyone has their things that make them happy. So you have that on Sukkot also. But b'chag ha-sukkot v'yis ha-sham b'mikdash simcha yaseira. There was an additional simcha, shenemar, usmachtem l'fnei Hashem l'kechem, that's by the base of Mikdash. Says the Rambam, v'keitzad hoyu oisin, what did they do for the simcha? The Rambam is mayrich, and the Rambam says, v'hei choysa simcha zu, through music, ha'chol el make, u'menagnim b'kinor, u'v'nevolim, u'metzaltayim, v'chol echad b'kli shir shu yedei l'nagaboy. Everyone brought their instrument that they knew how to play, and there was a band, and there was simcha. And there was dancing and music. So the Simcha Yisera on Sukkot was expressed through Nigun, through song, through Nigunim and dancing. That's the Simcha Yisera. Now, for sure, there's no question about it that Nigun definitely increases Simcha. There's no question about it. But on all other Yom Tovim, there's no special Inyan to sing. On Sukkot, the way to express the Simcha on Sukkot was through singing. I think we could see in the Rambam that there's something specifically about simcha that comes through nigun that shayech to the inyoni d'yoyim of sukkah specifically. Other yom tovim have their ways of simcha, standard simcha, basar, yayin, presents. Sukkah, the simcha, has a special inyan of coming through nigun. So I want to try to explain that. Sukkah is zman simchaseinu, like we say in davening. It's zman simchaseinu. And the specific mitzvahs that are given to us on Sukkot that are also shayach to Ninyan Adiyoyima. The mitzvah of lulav, the way it's described in the Torah, uzusmachtem lefnei Hashem alekechem shivas yomim. The mitzvah of lulav arba minim is called the mitzvah of simcha. It's called simcha. Why is it a mitzvah of simcha? There's different mahalchim. The Sefer HaChinuch explains that naturally speaking, the arba minim, when you see them, these arba minim, they increase simcha. They make you happy. The arba minim, the sight of these minim together, cause a pleasure, cause a simcha. So, usmachtem lefnei Hashem alekechem, the lulav is inyan of simcha. That's one thing, and that's the pshat why people, when they pick out the arba minim, they don't always just look for what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, what's kosher and what's not. Everyone has their style of arba minim. This esrig is, this one's my style. And he likes a different style, a different gidol, which is lav dafka only lefi the letter of the law that it says in Shulchan Aruch. The pshat is because the minim are coming to make simcha. So everyone has his style of what makes him feel b'simcha. But al kuponim, lulav is taka mitzvah of sumachtem lefnei Hashem alekechem shivas yomim. Another specific mitzvah in Sukkot is the mitzvah of nisuch hamayim. Nisuch hamayim, the Beis HaMikdash, every day there was nisuch hamayim. The whole year there was only nisuch hayayim. And over here in the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkot, there was Nisach HaMayim. Nisach HaMayim, without going into all the details now, we all know is also Inyan of Simcha. That's the whole Simchas B'Sheva. Ushafta Mayim B'Sosayim. Imayin HaYeshua. So there was definitely Simcha involved in Nisach HaMayim. But the main, we could call, the main mitzvah of Sukkot, which is the whole Yom Tif of Sukkot, is called Al Shema, is the mitzvah of Sukkah. Where is the Simcha in mitzvah sukkah? It has to be that sukkah has simcha also. Zman simchaseinu. Sukkah is called zman chaseinu. That's the name of the yontif. It has to be that there's an inyan of simcha in mitzvah sukkah as well. And be'emes, we learned this man in yeshiva, the Rosh Kamat says beferish in the sugya of ovel. The Gemara to have a mina to say that a ovel is potter min asukkah, because he's mitztayer, and mitztayer is potter min asukkah. And the Gemara says no, because he could control himself. He should have been able to control himself. And the Rosh explains that the only time that you have a p'tur of mitztayer min asukkah is only if you're more comfortable in the house. But if you're the same tzar that you have in the sukkah and you have in the house, then you don't have a p'tur of mitztayer. So the Rosh says an oval also has more tzar in the sukkah than he does in his house. Why? Because the oval would rather go into his bias and be alone rather than stay in the sukkah. But the Lashon of the Rosh is he'd rather leave his sukkah and go into his house, which is a makom tzar. And the Ava, who's b'tzar, would rather be in a makom tzar. And he doesn't want to be in the sukkah, which is what? It sounds like in the Rosh. It's not a makom tzar. It's a makom of simcha. That's what's meduyik in the Rosh. He doesn't want to go home to a makom tzar. And the sukkah is a makom simcha, and the Ava feels uncomfortable in a makom simcha. Abba state in the Rosh that the sukkah is b'cheftza a makom of simcha. It's a place of simcha, which makes sense. Man simcha seinu. The question is, what is the simcha of being in a sukkah? A sukkah is not as comfortable as our house. It's a diras arai. It's not so comfortable, the sukkah. It's not comfortable like a house. So why is that considered a makom of simcha, especially if you what it says in Svarim al pi Chazal, that the inyan of sukkah is like going into golos after the Yom Kippur. It could be that we went to Schayiv, golos, so we go into sukkah to be mechaper for averus that we got a kapor on Yom Kippur. Where is the simcha in sukkah? Why is that not a mokim tzar? The bias is a mokim tzar, and the sukkah is a mokim of simcha. And not only that, the Gemara says in sukkah that Shmini Atzeres, which we're coming up to now, is a regel bifnei atzmai. And Rashi says, what does it mean that it's a regel bifnei atzmai? Regel bifnei atzmai, that we leave our sukkah and we go into our house. And the Aruch Lener asks, Dafka, that we don't have a sukkah, that makes it a regel bifnei atzmai. First of all, what's the svara? Not having a sukkah that makes it into a regel? And also, it's not only that we don't have a sukkah, we also don't have a luv and esrog. We also don't have nisach hamayim. Why dafka the fact that Rashi says that we don't have a sukkah, that makes it a regel bifnei atzmai? So I saw a pshat built on the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, on the posik of Atzeres Tiyalachem, B'yom HaShmini Atzeres Tiyalachem, and the Lashon of the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel is that on Shmini Atzeres we go b'chedvasa, we go b'simcha from our sukkah to our house. In other words, a chelek of the regel b'fnei atzmai of the simcha of Shmini Atzeres is that we come home. We were away in our diras arei the whole time, and now we have the opportunity to come home. People are happy when they come home. So we see faker, the simcha is being in the bayis. The sukkah is the diras arai. But sukkah, on zman simcha seinu, the mitzvah is to be in the sukkah. What is the simcha of mitzvah sukkah? Why is that a simcha? Lulav, yeah. Nisach hamayim, yeah. But sukkah, why is sukkah part of zman simcha seinu? An obvious kasha. And I think maybe the pshat is like this. Everyone knows what the Torah speaks about, the chet of Moshe Rabbeinu by the Mei Meriva. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to speak to the Sela, and Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, and Moshe Rabbeinu was nenash because of that. He couldn't come to Eretz Yisrael. But the Lashon of the Pasuk is, when Hashem told Moshe and Aaron about the chet of the Mei Meriva, the Pasuk says, Yan asher loy hemantem bi laktisheni bamidbar. Because you didn't have emuna, you didn't trust me. You didn't have emuna laktisheni bamidbar. And the Maral in Gur Ari says, where was there a lack of emunah? Maybe it was a lack of Moshe Rabbeinu's judgment. Hashem said to speak to the rock, and he hit the rock, whatever it was. But where do you find Moshe Rabbeinu having any lack? Moshe Rabbeinu having a lack of emunah? Where do you see in the whole story of the Mei Meriva any lack of emunah? Says the Maral, an unbelievable pshat. He says, from the Psukim, by the Mei Meriva, it says over there that Moshe Rabbeinu got angry at Klal Yisrael. Shimu no ha-moirim. He spoke to Klal Yisrael, you are coming to rebel, and they're complaining about the water. Shimu no ha-moirim. And Chazal say on that Moshe Rabbeinu was bali de kas, and because of that he was bali de tois. But he was bali de kas. It started with a level, a Moshe Rabbeinu's level, of getting a little bit angry. Says Maral, if someone is angry, he's definitely not happy. Simcha and kas don't go together. When you're angry, you're not besimcha. When you're simcha, you're not angry. So if Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, got angry, that means at that moment, he wasn't besimcha. Says Maral, someone who has emuna is always besimcha. Someone whose emuna is perfect is always besimcha. Im ha-emuna, simcha. Simcha and emuna go together. And it's very simple. Because what does a person get upset about? What brings a person down? When things aren't going right, and you feel things that are out of your control, and they're just not going right the way they should be going. You view that it should be going in one direction, and it's not. So I get upset, and I get down, and it bothers me. If a person's emunah would be complete, there's nothing going in the wrong direction. There's nothing going wrong. It's all going right. You just don't know what that right is. You're in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands, and He's guiding you 100%. So imo emunah simcha. If a person is not fully besimcha, it's a sign that there's something missing also in his emunah. Imo emunah simcha. So if Moshe Rabbeinu had kas, that means he didn't have full simcha. That means he was lacking in his emunah. And Memela, it says in the Pasuk, Yan asher lo hemantem bi. The Pasuk was able to say on Moshe Rabbeinu, this lack of emunah, Yan asher lo hemantem bi, lakdisheni b'midbar. So we see that there was a lack of simcha due to the lack of emunah. Lefi zeh, I think it's very clear what's the zman simchasenu of the mitzvah of sukkah. Sukkah is tzilsa d'mei menusa. Sukkah is going from the diras kva into the diras arai. And who's taking care of us in this diras arai? When we look up in our schach and we look around in our sukkah and we see this flimsy structure around us, we see that we're not so protected by our own hishtadlus. We need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're under the control and the protection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ufrois aleinu sukkah shleimecha. We're under the control and the protection of Hashem. Sukkah is the inyan of emunah. Sukkah is the inyan of bitachin and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So for sure that's mar b'simcha. Ima bitachin, ima emunah, simcha. Simcha and emunah all goes together. That's the zman simchasenu. And on Sukkot, there's a mitzvah of a yisa ach sameach. You have to be completely, completely besimcha. Someone asked the stipler once, what's the hardest mitzvah for him to be mekayim? He said two mitzvahs are on his list of the two hardest mitzvahs to be mekayim. One of them was the mitzvah of a yisa ach sameach. To be only happy, a whole Sukkot, only to be happy. Nothing. There's so many things that are going on in the world. There's so many things going on in a person's personal life going on around him that should bother him. And pure simcha, only to be happy. He said that's the hardest mitzvah for him to be mekayim, the mitzvah of simcha. So for that, the Torah gave us some help on Sukkot, which is man simchasenu, which is talking about we need pure simcha. But what about all the things that are going wrong? What about all the problems that I have? All the challenges that I have? How could I be fully besimcha? I could dance a little, but lemaisa, deep down, where could I reach the full simcha? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the mitzvah of sukkahs, a mitzvah of sukkah on zman simchasenu, to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to remember that ufrois aleinu sukkah shlemecha, remember that we're in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands, and that gives us the opportunity to not worry so much. Not worry so much. Things don't seem that they're going 100% right, but there's a mahalach over here. I don't get it exactly. I don't know what it is, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is controlling it. I'm in His hands. And with that, a person has the opportunity to reach the higher level of simcha. That's the zman simchasenu. So the mitzvah of sukkah, dafka, the aray of sukkah, which is there to increase our betochen, that's the inyan of the zman simchasenu on sukkahs. That's the simcha. There's a very interesting Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara brings a pasuk that actually one of David's enemies was saying the praises of David HaMelech to Shaul. He was talking about David HaMelech and saying his praise. He was doing it in order to get Shaul angry at David. He's coming to say Lashon Hara, whatever it was. But Lamaisa, the pasuk does say the different praises that about David HaMelech. And the pasuk says as follows. It says, Vayan echod mehana'arim, which was Achitofel, Vayoymer hinei re'isi ben li'ishai beis halachni. I saw David HaMelech, the son of Yishai, and he sang his praises. Yodeya nagein, he knows how to play music. V'gibor chayil, he's a warrior, strong warrior. V'ish melchama, v'novoin davar, v'ish toyar, v'ashem imoy. All these beautiful praises. And the Gemara says, All these things are not to be taken 100% literally, even though it's true. David was Yedei Anagin, and he was a Gibar Milchama. He was all these things. But there's something else also. The Gemara says that all these things are speaking about Torah. Yedei Anagin means Sheyedei Elishay. He knows how to ask a good kasha. Some people know how to ask a good kasha. David knew how to ask a good kasha. Yedei Elishay. Gibar, Sheyedei Elohashav. He also knew how to say Teretz. Ish milchama, sheyedei alisa v'litein b'machamta shal Torah. He knows how to fight and learning also. V'Hashem imo shalocha k'moise b'chol makim. Halocha is always like David HaMelech. So all these psukim are speaking about David's praises. Yedei anagin ish milchama, which is speaking about halokim of Torah. And one of the things it says, the first thing of yedei anagin, means that he knows how to ask a good kasha. That's David HaMelech. He knows how to ask a kasha that means yedei anagin. Interesting, Akasha is called the Nigun. Yedei Anagin, that's the word that's alluding to the fact that he knows how to ask Akasha. Akasha is a Nigun. What does Akasha have to do with a Nigun? First of all, we see from over here, which every Ben Torah who knows how to learn realizes, that Akasha is not a problem. Akasha is a good thing. A Nigun is a positive thing. Akasha is a good thing. Akasha is also a chelek of Torah. Kasha, someone doesn't know how to learn good. So, Kasha, I have a problem. I have a pain in the neck over here. I don't get it. But once you know how to learn, you see that a Kasha, which I'll explain in a moment, is a very, very positive thing. You see over here, it's calling it a nigun. That means it's a positive thing. The Mashal says in Bar Metzia that something interesting, we used to saying that there's 70 ponim, shivim ponim la Torah. The Mashal says, I'll pihol gemar over there, that the Gemara says that when Rish Lakish used to learn with Rabbi Yochanan used to say something. Rish Lakish would ask him 24 kashas, and Rabbi Yochanan would answer him 24 tirutzim. Umemele Rav Chashmaitza. That was the style of the learning between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. The Mashal says Rabbi Yochanan said one thing, that's one. 24 kashas and 24 tirutzim, that's 48. Altogether, it equals 49. The memor of Rabbi Yochanan, 24 kashas and 24 tirutzim. The Mashal says that's the 49 ponim l'toira. Chimat moinim tachpasena. Mem tes moinim. There's also something called 49 ponim l'toira. But you see in the Mashal that the kasha is one of the ponim l'toira. The 24 kashas. Kashas are also a chelek of toira. Kashas aren't just a pain in the neck. A kasha is a chelek of the toira. And the Gemara says also about Metzian Eilu Metzias, that Talmidei Chachamim Shebebavel, Bnei Yeshiva who learned together in Bavel, when one of their friends would walk in the room, they would stand up for him. Everyone would stand up for each other. Just like people, a Talmud stands up for a Rebbe, friends in Bavel used to stand up for each other. Rashi explains, because they treated each other like Rebbeim. Just like you learn from your Rebbe, you learn from your friends. Like the Mishnah Nova says, you learn from your friends also. And because you learn from your friends, you have to respect them like a Rebbe. And they used to stand up for each other. That's what it says in the Gemara. Who was the Rebbe? So Rashi says, because friends sit in this medrash together, and some ask kasha, some give tirutzim, and it comes out that they learn from each other. Who's the Rebbe and who's the Talmud? Pashtus. The one that asked the question is the Talmud, and the friend who gave the teretz taught him Torah, and he's the Rebbe. So why do they all stand up for each other? The ones who never knew pshat, they should stand up for the ones who said pshat. But the answerers, why they stand up? So you could say that they all, sometimes yes, sometimes yes. But Mashal says not that way. Mashal says unbelievable that even the talmidim who only asked kashas, they never knew pshat. All they did was ask kashas to their friends, and the friends answered. The makshin, the one who asked the question, is called the rebbe of the one that gave the teretz. Why? Because he taught me the teretz, but I taught him the kasha. That's also a chelek of Torah. I could teach someone a kasha, and he taught me the teretz. That's also it's from the 49 ponim l'Torah. A kasha is kodesh kadoshim. A kasha is a chelek of Torah. And the pshat is, the simple pshat is, because when you learn a gemara, and you have no kasha, so you have the surface pshat of the gemara, which is very nice. But when you have a kasha, that already starts to allude that there's something else behind the scenes over here. I have a kasha. This Gemara says one thing, and the Gemara before said the opposite. What's the pshat? Oh, It must be there's some chiluk. Now you're going to figure out the chiluk, and you'll understand this Gemara better and that Gemara better. So the kasha is also a chiluk of Torah. A kasha is what brings you behind the scenes in what's going on over here, and that's also a chiluk of Torah. A kasha is a positive thing. A kasha is a good thing. It's very important for a bocher to realize that. You learn a sugya and you have kashas, kashas, kashas. It's gavaldic. Kashas are perfect. There's nothing wrong with kashas. Kashas are gavaldic. Rabbi Kiveger, half the time, blags sarachin. And it's a good sefer. Kashas are great things. Kashas is also a chelek of Torah. And over here it's called a nigun. A kasha is called a nigun. Why is a kasha called a nigun? So I heard once a beautiful idea. What makes a nigun nice? What makes a song nice? There's a lot of sounds in a song. But if all the sounds would be going in one direction, it's boring. What makes a song nice is when I have one sound going here and one sound going there, and sometimes it almost looks as if they're soys to each other, and from that, another sound comes out. And that's how you get the whole beautiful picture of the song. There's something called in music, I'm not very musical, but something called a counterpoint, that you have one going this way, one going that way in different directions, and from that comes out another chelek of the nigun, and that's what makes the nigun beautiful. If it would be only in one direction, it would be boring. What makes the nigun beautiful is the fact that it's going in different directions. That's the pshat. The fact that there's almost a stira, kashas within the different sounds of this symphony, that's what makes it beautiful. That's gufa, what makes it nice. So that's why the pasuk calls David HaMelech's ability to ask good kashas as a yodea l'nagin. David HaMelech knew how to sing a good song. He used to make the Torah geshmak. If there would be no kashas in the Torah, it would be boring. The kashas is what makes it exciting. And then you see the terex, the amkus, and then you see the beauty of it. And that's how the beautiful picture of the Torah comes. So David HaMelech was able to do that. That's the yodea l'shal. He knows how to ask good kashas. That means he knows how to make the Torah nice as a nigun. That's the pshat. That's in Torah. That's in Torah in learning. But I think it's the same thing in life. It's the same thing. A lot of times, people have difficult things going on in their life, different struggles. And we could call these struggles a kasha. It's going shver. Kasha, it's difficult. It's shver. And he has difficult things in his life. And it bothers him sometimes, and it could bring him down. But the emes is, and that's where our midas emuna and bitachon comes in, that these difficult times that a person has, these nesiyonos that a person has, is all a hechatimsa to also get behind the scenes. Just like a kasha in learning is to get to the depth of the sugya, to get to the depth of what it says in the Gemara. Difficulties in our life, a lot of times, is there to get to the depths of ourselves, to get to our depths, what we really could do. The Stipler said, "Bederech klal, what a person thinks is his Gehenim, that he's going through Gehenim, this is the worst thing for him, Bederech klal, it turns out to be his Gan Eden. That difficult time that he went through, that brought him somewhere else. It happens in so many different areas of life. Sometimes you could get stuck with a bad chavrusa, quote unquote, a bad chavrusa. You think, oh, this chavrusa, he doesn't understand anything. I have to explain to him over and over and over again. And you want to switch chavrusas, and you're stuck with him. You have to explain it over and over and over again. And then after a little bit of time, you say, yeah, I'm explaining it over. I think I'm finally understanding it properly myself. If I didn't have the opportunity to say it over and over, sometimes someone who's a Balkishwan could smart a little bit, he could smear things and not really get to things. I have to speak it out step by step. So that turned out to be the greatest thing for me. That's a small example with a chavrusa. It could be the same thing with roommates. It could be the same thing with other difficulties in relationships. It gets a person, gives the person opportunity to bring out koiches that he didn't necessarily know that he had before. The difficulties, the challenges that we go through in our life, the nisyonos that we have in our life, are also kashas. But these kashas, if looked upon correctly, could also be a nigun. Just like the kasha of the David HaMelech is the yodei l'nagin, the kashas that we go through in our lives, if we have the right outlook, and we have the right emunah and betochen to know that it's heading somewhere, also could turn into a nigun. So maybe that's the reason why the simcha of Sukkos is specifically expressed through nigun. Hey chaya simcha, zok the Rambam, through nigun. There's a mitzvah of simcha by other yamim tovim. On Sukkos, the mitzvah is dafka through nigun, because nigun is Sukkos. Sukkos is betochen. The zman simcha seinu, the simcha of Sukkos. The yisa ach sameach. The Torah says, be only happy. How is that possible? There's so many things on my mind. There's so many things going on. How can I be only happy? It's only through the sukkah. It's only through the mitzvah, the inyan of bitachon. And that is nigun. That comes out in all your mitzvah. That's what bitachon tells us. That all our kashas, all our difficulties that we go through, eventually we'll be able to look back and see them as part of that nigun. That nigun of his life. And that's the reason why maybe on Sukkos the inyan is specifically to have nigun, al yudei nigun. Because that's the mahus, that's the essence of the simcha of Sukkos. Lefi zeh, we can understand a little bit the inyan of Hashanah Rabbah. On the one hand, Hashanah Rabbah is this tremendous Yom Hadin. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, Hashanah Rabbah is a time that we're ma'ar b'simcha. The Ninuim, the Akofas, it's also a zman of Simcha. Simcha and Din don't go together. It doesn't go together the whole year round. But on Sukkos, after 7 days in the Sukkos, on this final day, which is the Tachlis of the whole Chag HaSukkos, of after being in the Sukkah, B'tzil Sittimei Menusa, and increasing our Midas HaBetochen, it's not such a stira. It's not a stira to have a Yom HaDin, at the same time also to have a Yom of Simcha. Our emunah should be strengthened so strong through the mitzvah sayoyim in order that it doesn't shtar, yeah, there's a din, and whatever it is, I'm totally in Hashem's hands, I'm good with that, and I could still be with simcha. When we don't have that high level of bitachon, it's impossible to feel that simcha. But when we get to that midah of emunah, like it says, la asalavoy, v'hoya Hashem lemelech, hayoyim ahu yiyah Hashem echor u'shmoy echor. The Mishnah says in Brachas, Keshem Shemavorchin ala Toiv, Kach Mavorchin ala Ra. And the Osalove, there won't be a Bracha of Baruch Dayan HaEmes. There'll only be a Bracha of Baruch HaToiv HaMetiv. When a person has the clarity of his Emunah, it's okay. It doesn't shtar my Simcha. It doesn't bother my Simcha, despite the fact that there's a din going on. But because I'm comfortable with whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, the Meile Tshayich, to have the inyan of simcha. That's the inyan of this day of Hashanah Rabbah, which is a yom simcha on the one hand, and a yom hadin on the other hand also. That's Hashanah Rabbah. I just want to say one more word about the inyan of simcha, of Sukkos, and going in now, Mitzvah Shem tomorrow night, Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, the highest level of simcha, the epitome of the simcha that we get through after Sukkos, that we go to the Shmini Atzeres and the Simchas Torah. Everyone knows what it says in Rashi and Chumash and Parshas Pinchas about Simchas Torah. What is this day of Shmini Atzeres all about? Shmini Atzeres is, we had 7 days of Sukkos, like we have a Pesach, and then another day of Shmini Atzeres. Atzeres Tiyalachem. So Rashi brings down the famous Moshel, to a melech, that he made a party for all the people that he likes, and eventually they all went away, and it was time for his oyavav, his children, to also leave. And he said, no, please stay one more day. Ikfu lefanai, stay for one more day. Koshalai predaskam. It's hard for me that you're leaving. Stay one more day, and we'll have a small suda, the two of us together, and then afterwards, you could go. That's what it says. And that's Shmini Atzeres. Atzeres Tiyalachem. Stay for one more day. The question is, what's the one more day going to help? It's inevitable that they're going to leave. They're anyway leaving. His dear son, his dear family is leaving until next year. So what's the difference if it's one more day or if it's not one more day? What's the inyan of... Hashem knows that is one more day. They're going to leave. They're not staying. So what's the inyan of this? Koshalei Predaskan. Stay one more day. It must be that there's something in this one day that will make the preda easier. It's kosher like predaschem. The preda is hard for me. This one more day will make the preda easier. What will make the preda any easier? I think the pshat is like this. There's a lashon of Rashi in Ksubis on Daf Ches. The lashon of Rashi is as follows. You can see the whole Gemara there, but I'll just say the lashon of Rashi. Rashi is coming to explain the final bracha that we say in Shever Brachas. Ashebara sasan b'simchach gilarina dita b'chedva. And the final bracha we make is Baruch Ato Hashem Mesameach Choson Im Hakala. Rashi was coming to explain why the bracha is Mesameach Choson Im Hakala, and the previous bracha we said Mesameach Choson Vikala by Sameach Tesamach, and now we say Mesameach Choson Im Hakala. Rashi says over there Merid Kaloshim. Rashi says as follows: the bracha that we make, the last bracha of the Sheva brachas, is Ashebara Sasan Misimcha, is a shvach, a praise. That Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ashebora Chasunas Dibuk Ish B'Ishtoi Al Yedei HaSimcha V'HaChedva. We're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave the tools for the Chosin and Kala to connect. Dibuk Chasunas Dibuk Ish B'Ishtoi Al Yedei HaSimcha V'HaChedva. When the Chosin and Kala gets married, so they have to connect. How are they supposed to connect? Hashem gave a special tool. That tool is called Simcha. Simcha connects. When a person is, like that Rosh says, when a person is sad, he just closes up into himself and he can't connect to other people. When a person is happy, he's open and he could connect also to other people. So we want the Chosin and Kala to connect. Samela is a mitzvah of being the Sameach Chosin and Kala, to create the atmosphere that they could connect. That's the mitzvah of Sameach Chosin V'Kala. You create for them the atmosphere where they're able to connect properly. Ashebora chasunas dibuk ish v'ishtoy al yedei simcha v'achedva. We see from over here that simcha connects. That's what simcha is. Simcha connects. So maybe the pshat is like this. People have friends. There's different kinds of friends that people have. Some people have a friend that when I'm with him, we're great. We have a good time together, we schmooze nicely, we're friends. But when we part ways, I don't think about him that much. He doesn't think about me. We don't have any relationship. Our whole relationship is about when we're together, which is nice. We get along beautiful. But the relationship is not so deep that we're connected even when we're far away. When we're together, when I meet him again, we'll also a friend that I see in camp every year, he's my friend in the summer, during the year, no shaykhus. Which is fine, that's one level of friend. But there's certain friendships that a person could develop that the connection is so, so strong that when they're together, it's great. And even when they're separate, even when they're far away, they also are connected. Even if they don't speak for a year or two or three, but they're always connected. We're so close. Nafshay kshura b'nafshay. We're so close. We're always connected. I saw in the famous book, All for the Boss, so Rebbetzin Shain brings down a beautiful story over there. When she first got married to her husband, Rabbi Shain, she was very young, and they got married with Chuppah and Kiddushin before they got their legal documents. So, and she was still, I think, a minor, maybe she was under 18, I don't remember exactly, but when she had to get the legal document, she had to go with her parents. So she went with her parents to wait for the judge or whatever, how they did it then. And they were waiting for him to come. And they randomly end up sitting down, that she was sitting next to her new husband over here on the side of the table. Her father was here and her mother was here. And she's mentioned to her father, he says, look, we just got married and we're next to each other and you're married so long and you're in separate parts. So he said to her, opposite, he said, you just got married, so you only feel as one when you're right next to each other. But me and your mother were so one, we could be on different ends of the world. We're always right next to each other. When the relationship is so strong, it doesn't matter if you're right here or not. Wherever you are, you're always connected. You're always one. That's pshat. Klal Yisrael, after Sukkot, is about to leave. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, stay one more day. What's that one day going to help? Because what's that one day? Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is a day of additional simcha. The biggest simcha is on Shmini Atzeres. Klal Yisrael chose Shmini Atzeres as the day of Simchas Torah. It doesn't say that in the Gemara. They chose Shmini Atzeres. Klal Yisrael chose Shmini Atzeres as the day of Simchas Torah. Not Stam, because it's a Tosefta Simcha. It's the biggest Simcha. Is the day of Shmini Atzeres, and that Simcha, that additional Vayisa Ach Sameach LeRabbis Shmini Atzeres for Simcha, that dosage, that higher potent dosage of Simcha that we get through Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah, creates such a strong connection. Simcha connects. We're supposed to have the Simchas HaTorah to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to connect with the Torah. That dvekos that comes through Simcha, that makes the parade much easier. During Sukkot, we were together, very nice. But that's like the friend who it's nice when we're together. Now that you're gone, you're gone. But through the Chasunas Dibuk Ish V'Ishtoi, and Shmini Atzeres is Mavur and Sforim, is Havayani HaMelech Hadorov, is Doimach to the Inyan of a Chasana. But that tremendous Simcha of connecting Klal Yisrael, connecting us with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Simcha, this out-of-the-world Simcha of Simchas Torah, that makes the parade much easier. Because even though physically we'll leave, we're always connected. We're like two sides of the table, doesn't make a difference, two sides of the world. We're always there. So that Shemini Atzeres is coming to solve that Koshalei Predaschem. It's much harder to pray the if it's going to take away our connection. But if we'll stay connected wherever we are, that's the Inyan of Shemini Atzeres. So we have the Inyan of Simcha on this day of Hashanah Rabbah, the end of Sukkot, the Simcha that comes from Bitochen, and the Mitzvah Shem, that should bring us straight into the tremendous Simcha of Shemini Atzeres, of Simchas Torah. And this man, I just started getting the feeling of the atmosphere in this beautiful Beis Medrash, and that's definitely one thing that's there, is the Simchas HaTorah, the geshmak in learning, which is nikkar on everybody's face. And amidst Hashem, we should be zeicha that Simcha and that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Torah, should last us amidst Hashem the whole year, and a good Yom Tov and a good Kvetel.